What's the Torah Reish Samach Beis?
Rabbeinu Zal says, Da, you should know, Shalidei Hizchatshus HaTorah, Maase Nehorois, that through Hizchatshus HaTorah, through new Torah being created, a person studying Torah and developing Chidushei Torah, this creates rivers. Because when a person begins to generate Chidushei Torah, Azai Maschel Nevoya Mayon, then a well begins to flow, a stream begins to flow. Bebechinas umayon mi beis Hashem yetze, as the pasuk says in Yael, that a stream flows forth from the beis Hashem, from the house of Hashem. What is beis Hashem? Shehu haseichel. The term beis Hashem refers to seichel. K'may shekosuv bechochma yivne bayis, as the pasuk says, bechochma yivne bayis. So we see that the bias refers to seichel. The pasuk says, "Umayon mi beis Hashem yetze," that there's a stream that flows forth from the seichel, from this chochma. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vzeh hamayon," and this stream, "Betchila hutzar vekoton," in the beginning, it's very narrow and very small. And then it broadens and widens more and more, until there are generated from this stream, there are generated whole rivers. Rabbeinu Zal says, and all types of beings come to drink from these rivers. Rabbeinu Zal says, that's why a person who wants to generate Chidushei Torah, which will have substance to them, Hutzorich Livkois Mikoidem, that person is required to cry before generating these Chidushei Torah, before being Mechadesh in Torah. Kikishinas in Nehorois Hanal, because Rabbeinu Zal says, what happens is, we said before that when a person generates Chidushei Torah, this generates rivers. When these rivers are created, v'hakol boim lishtois mehem, and all types of beings come to drink from these rivers, azai yavoyu gamken klipois v'sitrach rachas v'shalom lishtois gamken mishom. What happens is, the klipois, the forces of to drink from these rivers, alkein tzorich livkois mikoidem. Rabbeinu Zal says, that's why the person has to cry before him. That's why one of the prerequisites to being mechadesh in Torah is crying. And then, through the person's crying, he also generates rivers, a second set of rivers. As the pasuk says in Iyov, "Mibechi nahorois chibesh," that from the crying came forth rivers of water. When the Yidden cried for water at that time, Hashem gave them a refuah. Chibesh means like a bandage. Hashem gave them the refuah, the cure for their tears, was rivers of water. Hashem brought forth water from the stone. So Rabbeinu Zal says, the pasuk says in Midbechi Nahoris Chibesh, there are rivers that are formed from crying. Shal Yidei HaBechi Mesakei Nahoris. This implies that through the Bechi, this Bechi has the power to fix up the rivers. Umisham Shaisen De Sipukam Kol HaKlipois V'Sitrachra. And there, what happens is the klipois and the forces of tuma drink from there. They're yoinek from there. V'achakach kishois and horois michidush and doiraiso shemechadesh achakach. Then, when this person goes ahead and generates a second set of rivers from the chidush etayra that is mechadesh, azai yochoy lahamshicham rak lamekaymoi shetzorich. Then he's able to draw that power only to the places that it's supposed to go to, shelo yishdu mimenu zorim, so that no outsiders that should not be yainik from this should be able to be yainik from it. V'yad, period. So Rabbeinu Zal says that being mechadesh in Torah is obviously a dangerous thing, because chidushei Torah generate these rivers. To these rivers come all kinds of beings trying to drink from these rivers, and if the wrong type of characters are yonik from this, this could do a lot of damage, tremendous damage. Rabbeinu Zal says, therefore, a tikkun for this is crying beforehand. Crying also generates rivers. These klipois are able to be yonik from those rivers, so that they leave the rivers of Chidushei Torah alone, so that they only draw what they're supposed to get, not more than what they're supposed to get. That's the whole key. Whenever we talk about Tumah, the Satan being Yenek, there's no concept right now. We're not out to destroy the Satan. We're out to give the Satan the portion that belongs to him, not more, not less. When Esav came to do battle against Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu knew that he had to give Esav something He had to give Esav something at that time that would calm him down. He had to give Esav what belonged to him. He gave Esav a mincha. If you recall, we mentioned that in Torah, in Kiddusha, there's 310. The Gemara says, La'amcha lo yavayesh, that Hashem gives those whom He loves 310 worlds. This 310 corresponds to the concept of Oirech Yomim Bimino, u'bismay lo yishe b'chavoyed. That kaviyachol in Torah there's a yamin and a smile. On the right side is Oirech Yomim, on the left side is Oisher v'chavoyd. Oisher v'chavoyd, the main kavoyd in this world, belongs to the Satan, the Sitrach. Rabbein Ezal says in the first time, look at the Ramda, that ki achshav b'vanesen rabim hachein v'hachashivu shel Yisrael nafal. That nowadays the chein and hachashivus of Bnei Yisrael is down. The main kavoyd seems to belong to the goyim. So in this world, the Oishev HaChavayit mostly belongs to them. The left side belongs to them. So the Sifrei Kabbalah bring that this 310 worlds is split out into two divisions. The right side, which refers to Oyer. Oyerech Yomim is an Indian of Oyer, light. That's Oyer, is Bigimatria 207. And what remains on the left side is 103. 207 and 103 is Bigimatria, a total of 310. This is the concept of the Egel HaZohar that Bnei Yisrael were nechshavim. This Egel is this left side. A mincha li Esav. Mincha is Bigimatria, number of animals that Yaakov Avinu gave to Esav. He gave mechakef. The left side symbolizes the Sitra Achra, the Koyach of Esav. He knew that something had to be given to him at that time, Elamai. The trick was to give him only what you're required to give him, not one drop more. Rabbein Ezal says now, V'yalkein chibur ha-halochos v'hachidushin nikra mesechta. This is why one of the names that's given to a grouping of halochos or a grouping of chidushin is, it's called a mesechta. Zebechinas, this is what the Pasuk says in Tehillim, v'shikuvai bivchi mosachti. David HaMelech says, I went through so much suffering in life that v'shikuvai, my drink, mosachti means to water down like. So my drinks have the water from the liquid from my tears, water it down. Rabbein Ezal says, Shetzorich limsoich hamashke bevchi. Here we see a concept. Shikuvai refers to mashke. This refers to the rivers that are generated from Chidushei Torah. These rivers have to be watered down. The drink has to be watered down with what? With tears. Kitzorich liv al naharois bovel shomi oshavnu gam bochinu. Rabbein Ezal says, Bechinas Talmud Bavli. Bavel refers to Talmud Bavli. Shenase Eitzel HaYeshivos. Which is Bavel Shomi Bavli in the Yeshivos. Shemeyem Nas Nohorois Canal. That generates rivers. Vezeh Gam Bochinu. Through Bavel Shomi Yoshavnu. Through the limit of Talmud Bavli in Yeshivos. What's the tikkun for it? The tikkun for it is Gam Bochinu. Through crying. Kitzorech livkais mikaidem. The person must cry before him. Bebechinas v'shikuvai bevchimosachti. As David HaMelech said, my drinks with water, I watered them down. I modified them. I diluted them. Baruch Hashem. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that when Rabbein Ezal said this Torah was said on a Shabbos. This was said right after Rabbein Ezal's son, Rav Shlomo Ephraim Zal, passed away. And right before that Thursday was when the incident took place where Rabbein Ezal was talking to Rav Nosson Zal, Rav Naftali Zal, about all the suffering that he was going through, the tremendous yisurim, his own physical illnesses that he was going through at the time, plus the tragedy of having children pass away, his son, this son, whom he said had so much going for him, the things that Rabbein Ezal was marames to in this son, and when this son died, it hurt Rabbein Ezal tremendously, to the point where he started talking to them about any machlokes that was going on at the time against Rabbein Ezal, tremendous machlokes, to the point where Rabbein Ezal started crying that Thursday in front of Rav Nosson Zal, Rav Naftali Zal, he started crying. And they saw him crying at that time. And it was that Shabbos that Rabbein Ezal mentioned this Torah specifically, and then he mentioned also the Torah Samachay in Likud HaMoharan, where he talks about the Baal HaSoda, the Torah Reish Mem Beis, where he talks about the Orechamp and the Klippa. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that they saw examples of this. Rabbein Ezal said to them, as we're going to see in a minute, let's turn to the back now for a minute, to the Sichas V'Seiros, all the way at the end of the Sefer. All the way at the end of the Sefer, page Chof Beis, paragraph Nun Hei. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Kishe Omar HaTayr HaNetfeses B'Simen Reish Samach Beis V'Likud Yalach Al Kosek V'Shikuvay B'Chim HaSofi Shekoydem Chidushei Teret Zrichan Livkois Omar Oz Al Atzmai. Rabbein Ezal said about himself, Shebechol Eis Shehu Mechadesh Chidushei Teret, that whenever he generates any chidushei Torah, new items in Torah, who boichem yukoidem, he cries beforehand. And here's where Rabbeinu Zal continues to say about the incident that took place at that time, that they saw Rabbeinu Zal crying. But you see here that this is brought about Rabbeinu Zal. Now note, in this generation specifically, nowadays, Rachmana Litzlan, we find a lot of this. We find a lot of people who are not Yehidei Sefer. They don't know how to read the Aleph base yet. They don't know how to read Hebrew straight. You give them a Sefer that's slightly complicated, they can't make their way through it, and yet they're being Mechadesh in Torah, in Gemara, in Kabbalah, people who don't know how to read, people who learned 2.5 Gemaras, and the 2.5 Gemaras were missing some pages in between, and they're in a position already to be Mechad. They're coming up with Ich Zog, and my opinion on this, they're resolving all kinds of complexities that the Arizal didn't understand and other people didn't understand. This is a big, big Rachmanus, because Rabbeinu Zal shows here that even for big tzaddikim, this is very difficult to have any question. It requires a tremendous, tremendous knowledge of Torah, of Shas, and Pleiskim, and other items before a person is in a position to be Mechadish in Torah whatsoever. Baruch Hashem. Yeah.
I understand. What was the connection that it says Lo Amchil Lo Amal Yesh? That's not Lo Amchil. The tzaddik will get.
Right. That. How do they get that? How do they get that? Through the study of Torah. Oh, it's through the Avodas Hashem, the Torah and Mitzvahs, which are broken out into these two sides, the right and the left. About the Torah, it's written, Lahanchil means the schar, the reward that they're going to get. Where do we see another place where the reward is described? It says, Eirech yamim biyamina ubismayla isha b'chavoyim, that the reward for the study of Torah is Arichas yamim and isha b'chavoyim. How does that tie into these 310 worlds? It's split out this way. 207 or 103. Why Bedafka this way? The Sifra Kabbalah bring an explanation as to why it's a third specifically. The Klipa is one third. You'll note it's 1 to 2. 103 and 207. It's double. There's reasons exactly why it's split out that way. But for now, just understand this, that there is this concept of a mincha liyesov, a requirement of giving the Klipas the amount that they need to be yonig from, but not giving them too much. That was a pigam that came about through this oisher v'chavoid, ubismoil oisher v'chavoid, through the money. They misused their money at that time, their gold and silver. Mitzofain zohov yoasa, mitzofain tiposa charoa. They misused this stuff from the left side. It resulted in an egel hazav. No, I'm not talking about that.
So these characters are really these four Kaddish, and if they do say something good, is that only basically because it was already brought into the world?
It depends. But I'm saying, obviously, this is not a free kind of item. This wasn't given to children. This refers to one who's very, very knowledgeable in Torah and has been authorized by his Rabbonim to do this. That's the one who's in a position to think about doing it. Otherwise, our basic obligation in Torah is to learn that which the previous tzaddikim left behind should know. Now note, there's a lot of sickness going around now, a lot of fever and different things. This Torah, Rabbeinu Zal talks about fever specifically, the sickness of fever, what's the most outstanding item that brings it about, and what the tikkun for it is. Rabbeinu Zal says, Da, you should know, Shecheli hakadachas rachmona litzlan, that the illness of fever is usually brought about by a person eating more than they're supposed to. Because when a person eats more than what they're supposed to, that's the concept of the eating of an animal. Note, how does the Gemara differentiate between achilas sodom and achilas behema? What is a behema known for? A behema is constantly chewing. That's why in the yeshivas many times, the rabbis in the yeshivas make fun of people who chew gum. Chewing gum is a bechinas meichel behema, because the Gemara says that that's the way a behema eats. A behema is constantly chewing, chewing and chewing. In other words, constant eating without a gvul. In other words, there's no boundary. There's no setting a limitation. I'm going to eat for 15 minutes, then I'm going to stop. It's going way past your limit. You could have filled yourself up normally in 15 minutes. You eat for a half hour or for 2.5 hours. That's considered meichel behema, Rabbeinu Zal says. When a person eats more than is necessary to sustain. Yeah. ki geder ha'adam hu lechel rak fi ma shetzorech. Because the geder of a human being is to eat only what he needs to sustain himself, only what he needs to sustain the body. When a person eats more than that, that's an act of a behemoth. The Gemara says a behemoth eats and chews throughout the day, that chewing business. Rabbeinu Zal says it's this achila yisera, eating more than you're supposed to, that causes fever, as Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain. V'chein so too. Kishin is damei lodom b'soich ma'acholo. Ini tzutzai shalein is baruru adayin mi'maychal behemel ma'aychal odom. So too. When there comes to a person, when there happens upon a person, within his food, there happens to be sparks of Kedusha, which have not been nizbarer yet, they haven't been fixed up enough, which are, Rabbeinu Zal says, shalei nizbareru adayin mimaychal behemel maychal adam, they have not yet been nizbarer, they haven't yet been elevated from the level of maychal behemel to maychal adam. Two things, overeating, imloi mishehu ma'oid, a very great person, who is capable of skipping one complete level of medaber, that's the only person who is safe in eating this at Michael Shalina's baradayim. Otherwise, the person has to be very careful not to eat such an item. We're going to explain soon what it refers to. Rabbeinu Zal says, because when a person eats this item, that's Michael Behema, Nimtza Sheyotzei Migeder Odom Legeder Behema. What happens is this person is removing himself from the Geder Odom and he's placing himself in the level of Behema. He's saying, I'm not Odom, I'm Behema. He's eating an item that's not Roy. Now, for example, just a simple example, there are certain food items, oats, let's say, which are not usually recognized as human food, at least not in the raw sense. They're usually items that are given to animals to eat. A person eating that item, that's a Behema in a physical sense, of eating a maichel, it's not roi la maichel odom. Now you'll note, in the Shulchan Aruch, there are questions of halacha on this item. Do you make a bracha at all on such an item? If you make a bracha, does it go down a level? This item, if it were prepared in a human form, it would be mezainis. If it's not made ready, sometimes it's shahakal. It goes down a level because it's not maichel odom. So we see that this item is a level below what it's supposed to be. So a person eating this item, putting himself on the level of this food item. Note here, Rabbeinu Zal is talking about beruchnius. We're not talking about physically necessarily. We're talking about a case where this maichel has things in it which you can't see, spiritual things in it, that have not. The situation where the person eating this is lowering himself, he's taking himself out of the category of Adam to the category of Behema. V'zeh b'chinas, Rabbeinu Zal says, this is what the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hirakavto enoish l'roishenu. Let's first teach this Pasuk al pipshat. Dovra Melech says, Hirkafto enoish l'roishenu, you have placed people over our heads, in other words, people stomping on our heads, the leaders of the Goyim, bonu bo'esh ubamayim, and they put us through fire and water. They put the Yidden through all kinds of suffering. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Hirkavto enoish l'roishenu, what does this mean? Hainu shegeder enoishi, l'mala mimenu, a person has put himself on a floor, he's put himself in the basement, whereby the geder enoishi is above him. In other words, he has made himself behema. That's taich hirkafto enoish l'roishenu. That means enoish is above me. Ki hu l'mato migeder odom. He has lowered himself below the geder odom. Ki yorad l'geder behema kanal. He put himself in the geder behema, in the category of behema. Azai bonu bo'eshu b'mayim. What does this result in? A person who puts himself in a situation where hirkafto enoish l'roishenu, you know what happens to him? Bonu bo'eshu b'mayim. He gets this fever, which is a combination of fire and water. That's the sickness of fever. It's fire and water. Chamimus ukrirus. It's a heat. The person's body is very, very hot, and at the same time there's chills. The person feels like they're freezing. They're burning up and they're freezing. That's this bonu ba'eshu b'mayim. And this is what now we can understand a statement in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Novas Rav Nosson b'shul Hashem Rakhodesh Baruch Hu Odom Arishin." When Hashem told Odom Arishin, when after Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, which was Toiv Vora, it was a Meichel Shelo Nisbar Radayim. It was something that wasn't fixed up yet. It wasn't prepped enough for him to be able to eat it, because it had good and bad mixed into it, and Hashem at that time only wanted him to eat items that were Kulay Toiv. He ate this item that was Toiv Vora, this Meichel Shelo Nisbar Radayim. What happened? What happened? The Gemara says that B'shil Shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem told him, V'yochalto es esev hasodeh, because you committed the sin, because you made yourself like a behemoth, now you're going to eat the food of behemoths. Hashem told Adam HaRishon, V'yochalto es esev hasodeh, you're going to have to eat grass like a cow eats grass. So the Gemara says, B'shil Shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam HaRishon, V'yochalto es esev hasodeh, when Hashem told this to Adam HaRishon, Nizdazu Eivorov, Adam HaRishon started shaking, trembling. Nizdazu means trembling. Omar and Adam HaRishon said to Hashem, Ani v'chamoyer noichal ba'ovus echad? I and a donkey are going to eat out of one trough, one pail. We're going to eat the same grass or the same oats out of one pail. Chas v'shalom. Rabbi Nizal explains, Nizdazu evorov, his organs started trembling. Zebechinas choyli akadachas. That's this sickness of fever. When a person has fever, he shakes from the chills. He shakes. Shebo alidei achilas esev hasodeh, which comes by a person eating this grass of the fields. Meaning, alidei maichol behema kanal, by eating a bechinas maichol behema. Vezeh she'omru, this is why the Gemara says afterwards, the Gemara says, Vezeh she'omru, kivon she'shoma bezeh sapecho techalechem, that when Hashem saw that Adam HaRishon was suffering so much, Hashem told him, you know what, we'll lighten your sentence. We'll make it that bezeh, you won't have to eat food like regular animals, but bezeh sapecho techalechem, you'll have to eat bread, you'll eat bread, lechem, which is human food, but you're going to have to sweat for it. It's not going to come easy. You're going to have to go through difficulty in earning parnosa. The Gemara says, Nisiyash vodatali. As soon as Adam HaRishon heard this, he calmed down. He felt better. Rabbi Nizal explains now, Ki choyli hakadachas zebechinas pigam hadas. This sickness of fever comes about through pigam hadas. Because as the Sifrei Kabbalah bring many, many times, what's the difference between Odom and Behema? When we talk about Odom and Behema, Odom is Das, Odom is Seichel, Behema is Heder Hadas, lack of Seichel. How do we know this? The word Odom itself, the Arizal says, shows that we're talking about the brain, the Seichel. Because within Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, there are two letters there that refer to Meichen, Yud and Kei, refer to Meichen, to the brains. How many brains are there? How many meichen are there? Three, basically. Chochmah, Bina, and Das. There's Gimel meichen. That's why three times Yud-Kei is Bigimatria Odom. Showing that the word Odom itself reflects that what is Odom? Odom is brain. What is Behema? Behema is lack of meichen. Note, this is the item that distinguishes between Odom and Behema. Note, we say that when we describe them, we say, Daimen Tzameach Chai Medaber. What is Medaber? Medaber is mipiv das usvuno. The mouth is simply the vehicle in the body through which we get to look at a person's brains. But a person who speaks stupidity, that's not dibur. Rabbi Nizal says in the Talmud, come on, proof is, do animals speak? The answer is definitely. So why do we say that the distinguishing factor in calling this human and this animal is dibur if birds speak? We know that animals speak. There's no question about that. The answer is that dibur is only with das. Gam b'loy das, nefesh loy toiv. Rabbi Nizal brings a few psukim to show that dibur is an inyan of das. So Rabbi Nizal says here that...
Animal speech is without das.
Exactly. In other words, because that's the distinction between human and animal. The human has the gimel meichen, these three times yud kei.
The thing is that Shlomo Melech understood all the animals. Yeah. So they didn't know how to converse among each other.
Right. So what did I just say? Do animals speak?
Yeah.
Do they speak? Do they communicate with each other?
Yeah.
Yes, no question. But that's still not called Das. Because Das is obviously something above saying, pass the water, pass the... You have people who are close friends. What's their conversation? Oh, the weather's pretty nice outside. Oh, how's your kids? How's the... You know, nothing with Seichel, nothing with Tachlis. Rabbi Nizal says a person has to see to it that the world should become Nisyashe with Bnei Deir. People whose conversation, you picture two cows, oh, it's sunny outside, the grass looks like it's growing, how's your work? All of this, the 99% of the conversation of human beings is things that are totally fitting for cows, chipmunks, grass is growing very well. I found 4 nuts today. I made $300 on the stock market. I only found 3. My stock went down. All of this conversation that doesn't have any seichel to it. And I'm saying this is funny, but it's not funny. What classifies a person as a human being, as a Jew? The dveikus to Hashem, to Torah. The dibur is different. We say that Shabbos is bechinas dibur, Shabbos is malchus. Shabbos, you know how to talk stupidity, you know how to talk about how's the weather, how's this. The dibur has to be totally kodesh. During the week, you're given a license where you don't get an aveira, like Shabbos, chas v'shalom. On Shabbos, chas v'shalom, that's classified as chilul Shabbos, a person who speaks divrei chil on Shabbos. During the weekdays, you don't get an aveira for it, but you should know that you're not adam. You're removing yourself. If you don't talk diburim of kedusha, words that are related, if the majority of a person's words and thoughts are not affiliated with Torah, with kedusha, with mitzvahs, it means he's not adam. He's not medaber. Period. So Rabbi Nizal says here now. Rabbi Nizal says ki chilei akadachas zebechinas pigam adas, because chilei akadachas is a concept of pigam adas. Because how does das come about? Das is a combination of fire and water. Al pi Kabbalah, we mentioned this many times. Das is a combination of chachma and bina, which are the right side and the left side, fire and water. Das is chesed and gevura. We mentioned we had an earlier Torah Lekhanan, we showed how this is proven, that das is a combination of chesed and gevura, which spiral down from das. So it's a concept of fire and water. Water is chesed, meimei ha-chesed, and gevura is fire, esh, din, elikim. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'zeh kivon sheshoma b'zeh asapecha." Okay, so kadacha symbolizes pigam hadas. This is why when Adam Rishon was told, "B'zeh asapecha toichalechem ki refuas hachayvianal hu al yedei zeya." What's the best cure for a person who has fever? The best cure is as soon as they break a sweat. As soon as the person starts sweating, usually that's the best sign that the person is starting to get better. Rabbi Nizal says, "Va'idezeh nisyash vodatoi." That's why the Gemara says that when he heard "Bezeya sapecha," that's when he started having yishuv hadas. When he was in this state of kadat, when he was told that he's going to eat meichel behema, then he had this concept of pigam hadas. It showed why. Again, he ate from the eitz hadas toivara. He was poigain in das. What did it result in? A pigam within him. His das went down. He went down to the geder of behema. Hashem told him, "You're going to eat like a behema." There was a pigam hadas when he was told bezeyas, which is this concept of kadachas, fever, which is this mess up between fire and water, where the das is nifgam. When he was told, "You're going to sweat," that's when the das got a tikkun. The wording that the Gemara uses is nisyash vodatoi. His das had a tikkun. Hu bechinas mashin esrapa michele. Now this symbolizes that he became cured from this chayli hakadachas, from this fever. Shehu shleimus hadas. Getting cured from this fever, that symbolizes shleimus hadas. So here in this Torah, Rabbi Nizal is emphasizing again what the Rambam Zal emphasizes, and what any normal doctor or nutritionist emphasizes, that 99% of illnesses, even common cold, which means even fever, comes through overeating. All of these things come through pigam and achilas, pigam and das. And Rabbi Nizal has about 15, 20 chapters in Likutei Moran explaining this item achila. You'll note that achil, this isn't a joke. Achila is a major item in the Jewish religion. The whole catastrophe, all of us, the millions of Jews, billions of Jews that came down to the world from Bryas Olam till Bias Moshiach, it's all because somebody ate something that they weren't supposed to. The pigam of the Eitz Hadas wasn't a pigam in learning, it wasn't a pigam in going to the mikvah, it was a pigam in achila. Somebody ate something that they weren't supposed to. This is how significant this item achila is. So we have to know that this isn't a toy. A person has to know, how is a Jew supposed to eat? For this you have a Shulchan Aruch, you have Gemaras, which are filled with hundreds, thousands of halachos, eitzos, as to how a person is supposed to eat. A bracha before, a bracha after, this is all the tikkun. Why, in other words, why is the whole tikkun for eating? What do we do with for eating that gives the food a tikkun? The medaber, the bracha before and the bracha after, that dibur, that's how we show that we're different from an animal. An animal is not medaber. When a Jew makes a bracha, and here again, bracha, a person who makes a bracha without kavanah, it's like a guf b'lei neshama. It's again behema. A behema also says, bah, mu, all of these sounds, but without das. A person says Baruch Atah and he's playing Space Invaders or something, he doesn't know what he's saying at the time. If a person has kavana, he blots out everything going on, Baruch Atah Hashem, he translates. No kavana suarizo. We're talking about translating the words in English. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, and before those words are out of his mouth, he already knows, not that he's got to stop to think that now, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, now what is it? Ha'eitz, Hagama, Mezoinis, do I bench Kaimel for this? The key is when you say Hashem's name, at that time you must know already, Seif Maisev HaMachshav HaTchil, you must know what the Baruch is, and to say it with a simcha, to realize how privileged we are, that we're given permission, picture what a, we're given permission, each time we want to take an apple, we're given permission to say Hashem's name. That's not a joke. You say, a person doesn't take the apple and says Hashem's name, he gets a death penalty, Chas V'Shalom. That's one of the worst sins conceivable, is to say Hashem's name in vain. And this apple, or this piece of cake, or this any food item, is mezakemi. It gives me permission to say Hashem's name. That's phenomenal. It's fantastic. I owe a tremendous favor to this fruit item, or to whatever it is I'm eating. The person who eats that way, that's already showing a distinction between behemah and adam. If Hashem should show us how to eat, we should be zecher to learn how to eat the right way so that we shouldn't get sick.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, a person who doesn't has a problem with Chavos Achila.
Right.
I mean, you said there are aces. I mean,
very, very, Rabbeinu Zal, in this Sefer, never, ever, ever, ever mentions a problem without a solution. Okay, never. That never happened. That's not just Rabbeinu Zal. Any tzaddik emes, any Tana in the Gemara, any place, you'll never find a problem mentioned without a solution. It's not possible, because the Zohar Kodesh says that what's another name for the 613 mitzvahs? 613 etzos. Etzos. Rabbeinu Zal just gave an example. I'll show you an example, a small example. V'hameivin yoven. The rest I don't have to explain. You have to learn. V'lo yamor eschosid. You have to learn. You have to know. But I'll give you a small example. In this item that we're talking about, Rabbi Zal said recently in Halacha Shir that the Rambam Zal says in the, I think in Hilchos Deos, that's where he brings these halachas about food and health. I think that's where it is. That one of the most dangerous items after a person finishes eating is to get up right away, to start doing any activity right after eating. It's dangerous. Could bring about a lot of sicknesses and everything. The Torah gave an Eitzah that resolves this. The Meforshim and Shulchan Aruch bring, the question is, how long should a person sit and wait to have the food settle down? So there are opinions in Halacha that say the time that it takes, if you say Berkas HaMozon the right way, with Kavana, that's the amount of time that it takes. Begashmi is physically for the food to settle down, where you won't be damaged at all physically by eating this food. You see an Eitzah Tova right there, that besides all the other benefits that are being gotten through Berkas HaMozon and the Tikkunim and everything is that, Begashmus, there's a ticken, that you're not supposed to get up right after eating. A goy, a dog, a cow, they eat, they can walk, you don't walk. You're told an Eitzah how to stay healthy. There's thousands of other Eitzahs in the Likutei Moran, in the Likutei Halachos. You look at any Torah that he talks about Achila, here he says one example. You look at the Likutei Halachos on this Torah, Rav Nissen Zal comes up with a whole, now how do we apply this practically? How does this apply to you and me? Rav Nissen Zal, Likutei Halachos, Hilchos Chodesh. Chodesh. We have a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that now doesn't apply as much. In the old days, before you were permitted to eat any new food, there was a special korban that had to be brought. What was the korban? The Omer. They had to bring the Omer on the second day of Pesach, right? On Yud Vav Nisan, the second day of Pesach, that's what brought about a tikkun whereby you were allowed to eat the new food of the year. Which means, according to this Torah in the Likutei Moran, what's the difference between when I'm allowed to eat the food and when I'm not allowed to eat the food? Give it to me in two words. Behemo and Odom. When I'm not allowed to eat the food either I'm a behemo or the food is a behemo. When I am allowed to eat the food, it's when I'm an Adam or the food is an Adam. If the food is not nizbara yet properly, the food is bechinas maichel behema, I'm not allowed to eat it. If I'm not nizbara properly, if I haven't done what I'm supposed to, I'm a bechinas behema, I can't eat the food. It's when Adam and behema are positioned properly, that's when the food becomes kosher. Rav Mosen Zaska is the Vilfula. Hashem gave an Eitzah in the Torah. An Eitzah, a mitzvah, an Eitzah. Those two words are synonymous. What's the Eitzah? To purify all the food of a whole year. There's a Korban Omer that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash. What did they use for the Omer? Did they use a cow? No, they used barley, sairim. The Gemara says wheat is generally called Meichel Adam. Barley is called Meichel Behema. What's the Hebrew, what's the verb that's applied with Omer? Blank Omer. Hanofas Omer. What does Hanofa mean in Hebrew? Lift up. Why isn't it called Hakrovas Omer? Why Hanofas Omer? Hashem gave an Eitzah in the Torah that by taking barley, Omer, which is made of barley, which is Meichel Behema, by physically lifting this up, Hanofa, the mitzvah of Omer is not Hakrova, it's Hanofa. Lifting it up in all six directions. Lifting up means from Behema to Adam. Going from the category of Behema to Adam means bumping it up a level. Here kafta enoish l'roishen. Rabbeinu Zal said, when you're Behema, enoish is on top of you. So this tvua, my new crop of tvua of the year, until I fix it up, it's Bechinas Behema. It has enoish on top of it. How do I fix it up? I take bedavka, a section, a portion of the Meichel Behema, not wheat, barley. I take some of my barley and I lift it up and I have kavanah that Hashem should make whatever tikkunim are formed through the mitzvah of Hanofa Semer should be accomplished. You know what happens? Rabbeinu Zal wrote a little chapter in Kulman that tells you what happens when you do that physical mitzvah. What happens is that performs a tikkun that all the tevuah, the wheat, the barley, the chicken, the meat, the potatoes that you could eat that whole year, that one mitzvah serve as a tikkun to elevate all your food, all your new crops, from Behemoth to Adam. I'm just giving you one tiny example of a tikkun. So this is where the mitzvah of Hanofa Seimer, now the Gemara, now the question is, how about today? I can't do Hanofa Seimer. If you learn Gemara, and you learn the parts that talk about the mitzvah, the Gemara says, anybody who learns about any korbanos gets kodesh, then we did it. If you learn Torah Lishmo, the Pshitus, you learn Menachos, you learn Zvochem, you learn the Gemara, so all the Gemara's that talk about this, and you learn it with the Tmimus and Pshitus, you ask Hashem to help you be Mekayim, all the Eitzos that are found in this Torah, all of these Tikkunim are accomplished automatically. All of these Tikkunim are accomplished automatically by your learning and by your davening. Now, as far as Eitzos, how to control overeating, Rabbeinu Zal has Torahs on that also. He has whole chapters in the Quran which talk about how to overcome any taiva, period. Any taiva for more than you're supposed to. Maisrais, the whole concept of Maisrais, there's whole sections in the Quran where he tells you how to be able to control yourself. Got it? You understand?
I talk. It's a thing where, you know, I read the Torahs about that, and it just seems like, okay, for me, I can speak to anyone else, that other tithes, seem like they're controllable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you walk down the street, there's a problem with Pogama business, so you can turn your eyes away and take your mind and put it on something else,
right.
And it's controllable.
Right.
You know, this, at least to me, doesn't seem controllable.
The answer is that each and every person has a different tithe. You say this, you have another person. To them, food is a joke. You can put the biggest plate of potatoes or cream pie, zero. And to them, you show them a girl, that's their item. This is a question each person has to wrap. Oh, and what you just said is a total demand. Then it says that people have different ages. One's problem is chaminus, one's problem is krirus. You have a person whose metabolism is such. Metabolism, physically, if a doctor will analyze him and measure him using the tools that a doctor has, he's going to see that his metabolism is a fast metabolism, which causes him physically to have to eat more or to want to eat more than another person whose metabolism is moving slower. The heart is pumping slower, he's colder, his body temperature is colder, there's less of a need to pour in this sugar, this heat, all of these items. Again, these are items that I've discussed. But if you're talking about the willpower that it takes, what do I do to get develop the willpower, the rutzon, to be able to control this taiva, just like I have willpower to control another taiva, that is whole sections in the Kudaman and Shulchan Aruch and Gemara that talk about developing willpower. The Gemara does not advocate Weight Watchers, this, that. Any person who's religious gets all the benefits of Weight Watchers plus. A person who's basically religious, who studies the Shulchan Aruch and commits to it, no, there's no fooling. We're not talking about studying and then you do the opposite of what it says. If you do what it says, you make a bracha slowly the right way, you're going to see that your whole eating habits are better. I saw in some of these books that these Weight Watchers prices write this down. They write that majority of the people who gain weight is they eat too fast. They eat when they're in a rush or this, that. They eat fast, so the food doesn't satisfy them as much as it's supposed to if they would be eating slower. And they don't realize it, that because they're eating fast, they're taking bigger bites, and there's more going in, literally. The eats is to eat slow. If a person would eat the way the Shulchan Aruch prescribes, and as he's eating, he's thinking about what he's supposed to think about, again, his brain is not involved in how this looks or how it tastes. He's thinking thoughts of Kedusha, automatically it would be slowed down everything. But there definitely are eitzos and tefillos, and the tefillos, about this side of Hashem, help me be zeichet to break, to be masakin tais achilah, which brought all of this suffering. Death was brought to the world through achilah, not through niyuch. Although there were combinations there, there were different things. But basically, eitz hadas was achilah. And you'll note in Likutei Halachos, there's hundreds of pages talking about big achilah, because this is so big an item. Shabbos, what's the Ikra Mitzvah Shabbos Achila? Why? This must be, in other words, it's not so simple as it looks, just eating. There must be tremendous service, tremendous action taking place when a person's eating that he's not even aware of, that he has no idea what's happening. Right.
And how would the fact that he eats nicer, food for him, manifest itself in a physical way?
We would be eating machdeon. We would be eating grass.
And we wouldn't be able to, let's say,
no bread. Obviously, in other words, because the Gemara says, the Medrash says that one of the prerequisites to learning Torah is pas shachris, is eating bread made of wheat. The Zohar HaKadosh says that before a person can start a day and learn Torah, the mitzvah, the Shulchan Aruch says, when you finish davening shachris, what are you supposed to do before you go to the Beis Medrash? You're supposed to go home and eat breakfast, pas shachris. The Zohar HaKadosh says in Pinchas, why? Because what is the Torah in its most basic component? It's the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. We mentioned this on Shabbos, the Aleph Beis versus ABC. The Torah in its most basic form is the Chof Beis Asfon Doiraisa, the 22 letters of the Torah. How does a person prepare the body to be able to attach itself, the guf, a human guf, to be able to attach itself to the Chof Beis Asfon Doiraisa? There is a prep called lechem. When a person eats bread specifically made from wheat, chita, the Zohar HaKadosh says chita is bigimatria 22. Corresponds to the 22 letters of the Torah. Now that prepares the brain and the body to be able to associate with Torah. That's why Torah is called Lechu Lachmu Balachmi. The Torah is compared to Lechem because Lechem, this item of wheat, is the whole tikkun for the brain. This is why when he was Pogim and Das, he was told eat grass. It was fixed up, he was told Bezeh Asapecha Teicha Lechem. The Lechem is going to be the tikkun for the Pigama Das. The Lechem is specifically the food that helps the brain the most. You have this in the Zohar Kodesh, you have it in the Gemara, you have it in the Medrash, in Vayetze, in the Rosh Rabba, all over the place, how important it is for a Jew to eat.
I understand, what's the point of the Maicha not being the Zohar? It's not like the Maicha, me is more to be the Zohar, in order to be the Saki for the Maicha.
Right.
So,
even before we eat it, in other words, it's possible. When we eat, in other words, our eating, we make a bracha on food. The Arizal explains that sometimes there are neshamas that are misgalgir on food. Why? Because this person ate without a bracha, chas v'shalom, or did certain crimes, which causes a neshama to come down in a fruit or in a food item, in a behemoth, whatever it is. When we make a bracha, at times, it's possible to release that neshama. At times. No. At times, there could be a problem in the food that's bad enough where the food can do damage to the person. And one of the examples that the Arizal brings is Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol. The Arizal says that the pigama of Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he served 80 years in the Beis HaMikdash, and he, chas v'shalom, got damaged, it was because he ate an achila shalom his bar chotzocha. He ate something that he wasn't supposed to. And the Arizal explains what and how. Rabbi Nachman Shimon Zal brings it in one place. So we see that there are, now the question is, so how am I supposed to know? And so that's what a person davens every single day. Person davens Hashem protect me. The tefillah is that we say Hashem protect me from any yisurim, from any chovero, shochenro, all of these items. This world is a mokom sakana. It's a mokom sheshchicha hazeka. It's very easy to get hurt in this world in 50 billion ways. The Arizal says sometimes a person goes to sleep at night The neshama goes up. He wakes up in the morning. He wakes up and he feels a different attitude towards religion. Something changed in him. And the Arizal says something did change. His neshama went up. It went into a place called Heichle HaTmurois. And what came back down wasn't what went up sometimes. What comes down is the neshama of a Rasha sometimes. Or the neshama of a Rasha plus his original neshama. And at times, that's why the Arizal says we have situations where a person's religious for 10 years, suddenly one day the guy goes sour. Or sometimes the other way, sometimes a person's a Rasha for 25 years, suddenly one day he wakes up and you see he gets a desire for religion, he becomes religious. The Arizal says one of the things that causes this is this place in heaven called the Heichle HaTmurois, where Hashem is on his Chalif. In other words, the question is, why do we make a bracha every single day, Shelo Yasani Goy, Shelo Yasani Isha, Shelo Yasani Oved? How am I allowed to make that bracha more than one time in my life? Or why shouldn't it be called a bracha levatola? If I said this bracha, in other words, when a person gets old enough, 6 years old, makes a bracha, Shelo Yasani Goy, and that's it. He didn't make me a Goy yesterday, and he didn't make me a Goy today? That's silly. But he says, it's not silly. Every day there's this chalipin, there's this chance, there's this risk of this chalipin, chas v'shalom, take place in heaven. And every single morning a person is mispalel, he thanks Hashem, he shows that he has bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem has given him back either what he started with or better. And he davens to Hashem that he shouldn't chas v'shalom be hurt. Rabbi Nezal told the story in Sipurim Asiyos, the Maisami ben Malach ben Shivcha shenachlefu. But Mosdal Gderachas explains how that story is marked. This isn't a joke. This happens today. This happens every day from Bria Solon. The person is in tremendous sakona. This is why Rav Mosdal says a few times on the Kutei Halachos. If a person knew what kind of sakona they were in being on this earth, you picture somebody chasing you with a big, long knife with blood dripping from it. He's just killed 50,000 people, and he's got your name, your 50,001. That's the odds that are stacked. And this isn't funny. Those are the odds that are stacked up against each and every single one of us. Now go ahead, sit back and be lazy. Don't die. Don't ask Hashem to protect you. You go ahead and walk out in Harlem with its, you know, with screaming nigger, and see how safe you're going to be. We'll see how courageous, what a tough guy you are. You're not afraid to walk around in the world and play the stock market and go to Bermuda. You don't have to daven. How many of these people end up going through physical catastrophes? Or if not physical catastrophes, Rachmana Litzlan, they die, and that's when they first find out that they missed the boat. That what they thought was fun and games was just it went by Geharafai, and their 70 or 30 or 50 years that they spent in this world went by like a blink of an eye. And they first start playing ball with the men. They set up two worlds, billions of miles apart, and the malachim play soccer. That's one of the examples that the Sifrei Kabbalah bring. They hurl the neshama back and forth across spans of olamos. And you picture, talk about people being insecure in this world. Picture how, what kind of an insecure feeling that gives you. You feel yourself flying back and forth across universes. Now again, we can't understand what this means, baruch is. But it means that there's tremendous sakon on this world. And the most all-encompassing etzah is tefillah, his kashrus to the Torah, and his kashrus to the tzaddikim amitiyim. It's the only way a person could dream of saving himself. Period. Yeah.
Well, what does it mean
That's one example of it. But here we're talking about even after the person has learned Lishma and has come out with a Chiddush, let's say, that was good, these Klippos try to be yanik from it. And that, meaning, what's an example of that? Begashmi is in the simplest level. A person teaching Torah to a Talmud She'enai Hogan. You get a Rebbe who's Mechadish in Torah, he comes up with five Chidushim, he sits down the next day to give a shir to 50 Talmidim, two of them sitting there are ones who are not really to hear these words. These words are no good for them. If they hear it, it's going to do them damage. Unless this Rebbe cries before he's Mechadish this Torah, it's possible for these Talmidim to hear what they're not supposed to hear, and it could do damage to them. The tzedekim, how did the tzedekim come about? They were sitting at a shir, they heard something, which to them, what they weren't supposed to hear, it caused them tremendous damage. You understand? So this is why when the tzaddik, when a Talmud Chacham is mechadish in Torah, he cries before him, he sets up a protection for his Torah that nobody that's not supposed to draw from it should draw from it. Begashmius, this manifests itself in Talmud Shemai Havon. Baruchnius, there are beings that are around that we can't see that want to be yanek from any type of kiddushah, and unless you set up the proper fences, they can get more than they're supposed to, and they can harm your person, chas v'shem. Okay? Next, let's try to cover one.
Yeah, so if you begin, like, when is talking, there's also the one.
Yes, that's a separate item, because that has some significance to it. But still, there's no question at all that there's a tremendous difference between the tefillah and the tefillah of human animals. That this distinction of das, sechel, which applies to human being, not to behemoth. The term behemoth, sechel, like, well, is used to refer to heder hadas, an absence of das, a lack of das, which sometimes is very healthy. The sefer Rabbeinu Zal, that a person who is odom, he is a bar das, but he's mevatel his das, he acts like a behemoth sometimes when it comes to religion, he humbles himself, he's mishamish, pamir, chachamim, those kind of things, toshiyah Hashem, that person is guaranteed that Hashem will give him Yeshua. Okay, let's just try to cover the next Torah. Rabbeinu Zal says, tzedakah hu tikkun habris. Tzedakah is a tremendous item to help a person's tikkun habris. Ki pigam habris, what is pigam habris basically? A person, bigdusha, has to be mashpia, has to place something, give something to where it's supposed to be given. Instead of him shooting, instead of him placing this hashpo where he was supposed to put it, he put it elsewhere. This tipa of kiddusha, which should only be placed in the proper place, in the place of Kiddushah, he put it elsewhere, either physically, or mentally, or through Dibur, any manner, Machshava, Dibur, Maisa, incorrectly, in Pigam HaBris, all of this concept of putting something where it wasn't supposed to. He speaks to a woman whom he's not supposed to, or he speaks more than he's supposed to. That's the spachin of putting something where it's not, where it doesn't belong. These Diburim, this speech. Rabbi Nezal says, V'alkein ha-tikin al-yidei tztoko. Therefore, the tikin for Pigam HaBris is tztoko. Shai, deze chayzer o-mashpi al-shom al-akdusha. By giving tztoko, he's taking something, he's taking the money, and he's being mashpia it to a place of kedusha. V'ideze nistakin. And this brings about a tikin for any Pigam HaBris chas v'shalom that this person did. And Rabbi Nezal proves this. Rabbi Nezal says, this is, note the wording in the Pasuk where it talks about the Jews donating to the Mishkan, there's a very strange wording there. The Pasuk says, Vayovoyu ho'anoshim al hanoshim. The men came with the women to donate to the Mishkan. It should have said, Vayovoyu ho'anoshim im hanoshim, at best. Or why doesn't it just say, Vayovoyu ha'people? You know, another word which means people. Why does it list men and women? And it uses the word Vayovoyu, a lotion of bia, Vayovoyu ho'anoshim al hanoshim. Rabbi Nezal says, by the donations of the Mishkan, haynu bechinas zivug shenas alidei hatzdoko shel nidvas hamishkan kanal. The Torah here is referring to the zivug that's generated through the tzedaka of donating to the Mishkan. The Alkanan, therefore, kishenoi sein laoni sheenoi hogon. Here's another example of what I just told you, parrots. Here's another example of being mashpia where you're not supposed to. When a person gives money to an oni who doesn't deserve tzedakah, one whom he's not supposed to be supporting, one who uses the money against Jews or against mitzvahs, azai adaraba, then what happens is just the opposite, to nifgam yoser, he causes the pigam HaBris to be worse than it was before he gave the tzedakah. Because he's repeating the crime again. Again, he's taking money that could be used elsewhere, that belongs in better places or in a proper place, and he's putting it in an improper place. But then, as Narav Nosazal says, "Va'ayin b'mokom acher." Look in other chapters on the Kudemaran. Shemavur gam kein shetzdoko hu tikkun habris. Rabbi Nosazal brings in Torah Reish Mem Beis about Olechan ben the Klipa, that there's a power of tumor that's tremendous, and as I said, the ticking for it for this isha roa, there is an isha roa of klipa that's so bad that sometimes a person can't fight it whatsoever. What's the only tikkun for it? Staka, Rabbi Mizna brings there. Pasuk says, "Vayavoyu ho anoshim al hanoshim." The men came with the women to donate to the Mishkan. It should have said "Vayavoyu ho anoshim im hanoshim" at best. Or why doesn't it just say "Vayavoyu ha people"? You know, another word which means people. Why does it list men and women, and it uses the word "Vayavoyu," a lashon of bia? "Vayavoyu ho anoshim al hanoshim." Rabbi Nizal says, וזה בחינס ויובאו האנשים על האנשים הנאמר בנדבס המשכן by the donations of the Mishkan היינו בחינס זיווג שנעשה על ידי הצדוקו של נדבס המשכן כנען. The Torah here is referring to the zivug that's generated through the tzedakah of donating to the Mishkan. The Alkan, and therefore, kishenoi sein la'oni she'enoi hogon. Here's another example of what I just told you, Peretz. Here's another example of being mashpia where you're not supposed to. When a person gives money to an oni who doesn't deserve tzedakah, one whom he's not supposed to be supporting, one who uses the money against Jews or against mitzvahs, chas v'shalom, azai adarabah, then what happens is just the opposite. Who nifgam yoser, he causes the pegam abris to be worse than it was before he gave the tzedakah. Because he's repeating the crime again. Again, he's taking money that could be used elsewhere, that belongs in better places or in a proper place, and he's putting it in an improper place. But then, as Narav Nosazal says, "Va'ayin b'mokom acher." Look in other chapters in the Likutei Moharan. Shemavur gam kein shetzdoko hu tikkun habris. Rabbi Nosazal brings in Torah Reish Mem Beis about olechan pen the klipa, that there's a power of tumah that's tremendous, and Rabbi Nosazal says the tikkun for it, for this isha roa, there is an isha roa of klipa that's so bad that sometimes a person can't fight it whatsoever. What's the only tikkun for it? Staka. Rabbi Nosazal brings there.